good to be here tonight. I appreciate everybody coming. I want to welcome our visitors. Thankful to have you with us, and I hope that we make you feel welcome among us. When I was ordained, as you know, is customary in our churches, myself and the brethren that I was ordained with, they gave us a Bible, and it had the Bibles, they had had our names engraved on them, Brother Jeff Moran, a good friend of mine, he was a deacon. He had already been ordained as a deacon by Bethel Church, and at my ordination, presbytery chose Brother Jeff to present my Bible to me, and after he said some really good things, he gave me the Bible, and he said, "Now, Brother Miller might, you know, he might take this Bible and he might put it away, you know, as a keepsake for the Bible that he was given when he was ordained." And I know that some brethren have done that. They took their Bible and they kept it new and they put it away. But the thought came to me when he said that, that I thought, no, I'm going to use it. And then someday I'll probably put it on the shelf, because I had this thought come to me, if anybody, after I'm gone, ever looks through my belongings and finds my ordination Bible, I wanted them to see that I used it to preach God's Word. That was my thought, and so I used it until I wore it out, and then I put it on the shelf, and it's still there today. And I'm thankful for God's Word. I'm thankful for what God gave us. It's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And I wish that I could learn more about it. I mean, don't you just wish you could gain a greater knowledge of God's Word? We struggle to learn, we struggle to understand. I'm convinced that there are deep mysteries within the Word of God that we've not yet figured out. But I'm certainly thankful for His Word and what we can understand about it. I want to certainly ask for your prayers tonight. As always, I need the Lord's help. Can't do anything without Him. And I want to share a scripture reading with you from the 17th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, beginning with verse 16. If you have your Bibles and would care to read along with me, please turn there to Acts chapter 17, and we'll begin reading with the 16th verse. It says, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens," that is, he was waiting for Timothy and Silas, "his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Other some, 'He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection.' And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, 'May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. And I'm going to stop my reading there with that 27th verse. And the Apostle Paul, in this sermon, after he had got so stirred up by seeing all the idolatrous worship that was going on there in Athens, and he declared unto them that the true God is the God of creation. The true God is the God that created the heaven and the earth and all things therein, and that created man. He is the one, that's the God that the Apostle Paul declared unto them. And after he, in the midst of preaching this message to them concerning the one and only true God, he made this statement that I want to ask you to think about with me tonight. He said that God hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, hath determined the times appointed, the bounds of their habitations, that they should seek the Lord. And that's what I'd like to speak about tonight, seeking the Lord. I want to use the title, The Necessity of Seeking the Lord. Now, Brother Forshee and myself, this week, we have preached by the help of the Lord and under the direction of the Spirit of God. We have preached about some things that are necessities. We have preached about some things that are absolutely imperative. Saturday evening, I preached from the third chapter of the Gospel of John concerning what Jesus told Nicodemus there, that if you want to go to heaven, you have to be born again. You must be born again. It's absolutely necessary in order to go to heaven, and there's no way to get there without it. Well, in order to be born again, you have to do what Brother Forshee spoke about last night. You have to obey God's commandment to repent of your sins, and you have to place your trust, all of your trust, trust with all your heart the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be born again. There are conditions to being saved, and as Brother Forshee spoke to us last night from the 20th chapter of Acts concerning what the Apostle Paul said to the elders at Ephesus when he reminded the elders of that church what he had preached among them. He had preached repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ as the terms of the gospel, as the condition of being saved. And God doesn't make any exceptions. Anybody that doesn't repent is not going to be saved. Anybody that doesn't trust in Jesus Christ with all their heart is not going to be saved. And so these things are absolutely necessary. You must repent and be and place your trust in Jesus in order to be born again. And you must be born again to go to heaven when this life is over, and God will not make any exceptions to that. Well, I want to speak to you tonight about the necessity of seeking the Lord. Listen, you're never going to find the Lord without seeking the Lord. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us, and you know, when I speak about things like this, I don't say these things to make fun of anybody or to be malicious or anything like that. But you know, what I don't like about, and I've said here to the church on numerous occasions, I've made it known that I don't like this. But what I don't like about people that deceive other people about what it means to be saved, what I don't like about somebody telling somebody else that if they will just walk up there to where they're at and repeat a prayer that they tell them to repeat, that they'll be saved, that, and then they tell that person, you know, when they've read that, well, you know, you're fine, you've been saved, or when they tell somebody that all you have to do is decide to be a Christian and you'll be a Christian, you know, if you just make a decision to be a child of God, then that's what you'll be. That's not what I don't like about that is it's not what the Bible teaches. It's not what the Scriptures teach. The Scriptures teach us that in order to find the Lord, you have to seek the Lord. Now, Brother Forshee made mention of this, and I really have enjoyed this week in the services that we've had thus far. I really have enjoyed seeing the church move closer to the Lord and hearing people be willing to stand up and testify and speak for the Lord. And I really enjoyed those who have felt impressed of God to share your experience of salvation. That's a wonderful thing, and it always blesses me to hear people talk about their salvation. And if you're here tonight and you're lost, I want you to think about this. I don't know how closely perhaps that you have been listening to various ones here this week tell their testimony of when they were saved. But if you have been, I'm sure that you've noticed this just like I have, that whenever people begin to testify and relate their experience of what happened to them when they got saved, you'll notice that they always talk about a time when they were seeking the Lord. They were seeking the Lord. They were seeking Him to save them. They were asking God to save them. They were praying to God to save them. They were seeking after salvation. Now, God has made, and I want to speak about this perhaps as we go on, but God has made wonderful promises to those that will seek Him. But those promises, those same promises, have not been made to those who refuse to seek the Lord. But God has promised wonderful things to those that will seek Him. Now, I want to ask for your prayers. I want, as I try to bring these thoughts before you tonight, I want to ask the church to pray that God will help me tonight, because what I want to try to convey, I want to try to encourage those of you who are lost. If you're here tonight and you know you're lost and you're not making an effort to seek after God, I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you to seek the Lord. Let your search begin now. Don't worry about waiting until tomorrow. Let your search begin tonight. I want to encourage you to seek after the Lord. And those who are here that are lost and have been making an effort to seek the Lord, regardless of how long that this has been going on, if you're making an effort to seek the Lord and you have not yet found the Lord, then I want to encourage you to keep seeking the Lord until you do find Him. Keep seeking Him. Don't let the devil discourage you. Don't discourage yourself. Don't let anything cause you to be dismayed or discouraged or downhearted, because people, when you are seeking the Lord, you're doing the right thing. And so I want to encourage you to just continue to seek after the Lord. In the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah, in verse 6, the prophet Isaiah said, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." It goes on and says, "Let the wicked man forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Well, who will he abundantly pardon? Who will God have mercy upon? He will have mercy upon those that are seeking after him. And so, seek you the Lord while he may be found. Now, there is coming a day, and I would be amiss if I didn't tell you this, but there is coming a day when there will be, you will not have opportunity anymore to seek after the Lord. Listen, the gift of salvation and finding salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ is a limited offer. It's a limited time offer, and you're not always going to have that opportunity. That's only going to be afforded to you while you are living here in this life. Brother Wheat made mention, I believe it was Sunday morning, Brother Wheat made mention of the scripture that we find there in Jeremiah 8 and 20, where he said, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." There will come a time when it will be too late to be saved. If you put it off until you die and leave this world, then it's going to be too late. The harvest will be forever past for you. The summer will be ended, and you won't ever be saved. But while you're here, you have the time and you have the opportunity to seek the Lord for salvation. Now, as I said, God made a wonderful promise to those that seek the Lord. Well, what is that promise? Well, I'm glad you asked. The promise is this, and I'll share some scripture with you that will back this up, but this is God's promise to the seeker, that you'll find him. God's promise is that those that seek after him will find him. In the 7th chapter of Matthew, in verses 7 and 8, and these ought to be of great encouragement to anybody that's seeking after the Lord. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself spoke these words and made these promises. He said, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened." Now listen to this. "For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And to him that seeketh, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Now, that's the words of Jesus Christ. Jesus said that everyone that asks will receive. Everyone that seeks will find. Everyone that knocks, it will be opened unto you. And so you could say, "But Brother Miller, I've been praying throughout these revival services. I've been praying. I've come up here to the mourner's bench, or I've been kneeling down at my seat, and I've been praying, and I'm still not saved." And you're telling me that Jesus said that everyone that seeks him will find him, that everybody that asks of him the gift of salvation will have it, and everyone that knocks, it'll be opened unto you, but I'm not saved. Well, you know what? all that I can tell you is that you have not yet sought the Lord according to the way His Word tells you that you'll have to seek Him in order to be saved. Everybody, I believe this is what Jesus was saying, every person that seeks Him according to the way that God has said that you'll have to seek Him, everyone that seeks Him that way will get saved. Everyone that seeks the Lord in that way, and I will try by the help of God to enlarge upon that, but everyone that seeks Him in that way will become a finder. That's what the Lord said. That's His promise. That's a promise from Jesus Christ Himself that everyone that seeks will find. Well, you know, the best way, you know, the Bible tells us that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It's not man's word. It's God's word. The Holy Spirit is the author of all Scripture. It's God's Word. And you know, nothing interprets Scripture like other Scripture. If you want to get the right meaning of Scripture, then interpret it with the Scriptures. There's all sorts of people that have written commentaries and written all these different things and tried to explain what certain things mean. And sometimes they get it right and sometimes they don't. But listen, the Scriptures never contradict themselves and they always harmonize, and you'll never find a better way to interpret Scripture than to interpret it by the Scriptures themselves. All right? And so I believe the Scriptures tell us, and explain to us exactly what the Lord promised when He said that everyone that seeks will find. But you see, there's the little word if. That little two-letter word, if, packs a lot of punch, doesn't it? It really does. It implies that something is conditional, and this is what we find in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. It says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord, thou shalt find Him, if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. And that's exactly what the Lord was talking about, and that's the condition of seeking the Lord, that you've got to seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. The Lord never made any promise to those that would seek the Lord half-heartedly. He never made a promise to those that would seek the Lord and maybe want what they were seeking for a little bit, but maybe not really want it that much. He didn't make promise to that type of seeker. He made a promise that those that seek Him with all their heart, with all their soul, that seek Him desiring what they're seeking for more than anything, would find Him and would find what they're seeking for. Now, you know, this, and we need to understand that this doesn't only apply to lost people seeking the Lord for salvation either. Have there not been times in your Christian life? Have there not been times in your walk with God? I know there certainly have been for me on many more than one occasion. There have been times in my life when I've had to find out what the will of God was. There have been times when I was called upon to make decisions in my ministry that I had to find out what God's will was. I had to find out what the Lord wanted me to do. There have been times when I've been called to pastor churches and I had to know God's will. I had to know what it was that God wanted me to do. I've never wanted to be anywhere without God with me. I had to know. There have been many things that I've had to search for an answer to. And you know what? I've never been able to find it until I really get serious with God. Until I really turn to Him and pray to Him with all my heart, I've never been able to find it. But that applies to us in all situations. If you want an answer from God concerning anything, you've got to seek Him diligently in order to find out what it is that He would have you to do. I want to talk for just a moment here about the diligent seeker. The Bible talks about the diligent seeker. I believe that's what was being said in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29, when it said, you'll find the Lord if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. You'll find the Lord if you are a diligent seeker. You've got to search after Him diligently. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, Brother Forshee touched on this last night. Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. Hebrews chapter 11 defines faith for us as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, or the assurance of what we hope for and the proving of things not seen. That's what faith is. The substance of what we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. And the Hebrew writer goes on and says in the sixth verse, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, that is to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. A rewarder of who? Of them that diligently seek Him. Not just seek Him, but those who diligently seek Him. God rewards those that diligently seek Him. I want you to think about that word for a moment. I want you to know what it means. I want you to understand what I'm trying to tell you tonight. Diligent. A diligent seeker. The best way that I've heard it defined, I made note of this. Diligently. Constant in effort or exertion to accomplish what is undertaken. A diligent seeker is a seeker who is absolutely determined to be a finder. The diligent seeker. Now we have an example that's given to us in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus spoke a parable, and he said, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he were to lose one, would not leave the 99 and go into the wilderness and search for that one sheep until he finds it? And then he also spoke about a woman losing a piece of silver. Luke chapter 15, verse 8, I believe, he speaks about a woman losing a piece of silver and lighting a candle and sweeping the house and searching diligently for that piece of silver until she finds it. Listen, there have been people here, and there are things, folks, that we can't explain. There are things that you and I cannot explain because we're not able to look at somebody's heart. Only God can see that. And I know that we have questions that arise in our mind often when we see people that just seem to pray and pray and pray. And as the old saying goes, wear the altar out. We've got people here that are members of this church. I've heard their testimonies of how they went, some of them, for years praying and visiting the altar and praying in other places and just praying and praying and praying and seeking until they finally found the Lord. Some of them for a long time. And we may question, well, what's going on? You know what, other people, I've heard the testimonies of people that got saved in the very service that God made them realize they were lost. That very service. God convicted them of their sins and made them realize their loss, and they went to the Lord and they sought Him and they got saved. And the only thing that we are able to conclude from that is that for those that go for a long period of time, for those that pray over and over and over again, the only thing that we can conclude, that we can safely conclude from the Scriptures is that you just have not yet diligently sought after the Lord. You may feel like you have. You know what? You may not understand it yourself. I've also heard people testify, many people testify, that I thought I was doing all that I could do. But I know what God's Word promises, that those that seek Him diligently find Him. And I promise you this. Don't ever doubt this. If you've been praying for a while and you've not been saved, you've been praying for a while and you don't have that peace, don't you ever doubt this. God wants to save you. He wants to save you. God doesn't play games with people. He doesn't play games with lost souls. God doesn't play cat and mouse. He wants to save you. He wants to save everybody. He wants everybody to come to Him and seek Him, and as Paul said, and feel after Him, lest haply you find Him. That's God's desire for everybody. He doesn't want anybody to die lost. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and said that God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. The Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 3:9 said that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Lost friend, I'm telling you tonight, He wants to save you. He wants to give you everlasting life. He does. You know, I would love, we've been in our revival services now. We're into our sixth day of that. I would love to see people saved tonight. I would love to hear people testify that Wednesday night at Fairview Memorial there, I found the Lord. We'd love to see you saved tonight. But listen, it wouldn't make us nearly as happy as it would make God. I mean, it makes God, it pleases Him when people come to Him and repent and trust Him and get saved. The Lord loves that. He wants to save everybody. There be rejoicing here tonight in the presence of this congregation of people for a sinner to come and diligently seek the Lord and be saved. The Bible tells us that there be rejoicing in heaven over a sinner that repents. There's rejoicing in the presence of angels over one sinner that repents. God wants to save. He wants to save. If God didn't want to save, He would have never invited anybody to seek Him. He wants everybody to seek Him and be saved. But you'll have to seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. And if there's anything that means more to you than salvation, then you'll not get it. I believe that Jesus proved that very well to us there in the 19th chapter of Matthew when he gave the account of the rich man that came to him and said, "Good master, what shall I do that I may have eternal life? What good thing shall I do?" He evidently thought that salvation was based on works. He said, "What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Well, Jesus answered him according to the way I believe that he asked the question. Well, if you were going to get it that way, you'd have to keep the law. And he said, "Well, which law?" And Jesus told him some of the laws. And he said, "Well, I've done these things since I was a youth, but what do I still lack?" And the Lord said, "Well, go sell what you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me and you'll have treasure in heaven." And the Bible says that this young man went away sorrowful because he had many possessions. Jesus knew that man's heart before he ever even had the conversation with him. He knew exactly what to say to him. He knew exactly how to expose that. And he knew what was in that young man's heart. And listen, he loved his earthly treasures. He loved his riches. And he desired to have them more than he desired to have Jesus. Boy, that's sad, isn't it? That's sad that somebody would want that. Let me tell you something. If there's anything in your heart that means more to you than having Jesus, you'll not find him. You'll just not find him. One of the things that I remember so vividly the night that I got saved, one of the things that really, really stands out in my memory was how that God brought me to the place where the only thing that mattered to me anymore was being saved. That's it. I mean, I wanted to be saved so bad that nothing else mattered. It's all that I wanted was the salvation of my soul, and the Lord gave it to me. You know, I believe it's been that way with everybody. I don't believe anybody's ever found the Lord until they wanted him more than anything, even more than life itself. Amen. The diligent seeker, the one that seeks God with such passion and such conviction and such determination that they want to be saved even more than they want to continue to live in this world. The diligent seeker. Listen to what the Bible tells us about King Hezekiah. Hezekiah was one of the kings of Judah. The Bible makes this statement concerning him in 2 Chronicles 31, verse 21. It says, "And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God," listen, "he did it with all his heart and prospered." He did it with all his heart and prospered. I want to close with this account that's found in the 20th chapter of Matthew. It tells us of a time there that Jesus, I believe, had left Jericho. And as he journeyed, there were two men that were blind. They were blind. And they heard that Jesus was passing by. And so they begin to cry out to Jesus. And the Bible says that the multitude around them begin to rebuke them. They begin to tell them they needed to be quiet. They rebuked them and told them that they needed to hold their peace. And when the crowd of people did that, when this multitude said that to them, the Bible says that they cried out more. You see, here were these two blind men. They were crying out to Jesus, and the angry mob saying, "Stop that," and it just made them cry out all the more. Now, they wanted something, didn't they? They wanted to get the Lord's attention, and they were not going to let anything stop them. That's diligence. They were not going to let anything hinder them. They were not going to let those people tell them to stop crying out to the Lord. They just cried out to him louder. Well, they got the Lord's attention. You know what? The Bible says that Jesus stood still. He heard their cry and he stood still. And he called those men unto him and he said, I'm paraphrasing, of course. He said, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? They said, Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes. The Bible tells us that he had compassion on them. The Lord had mercy on them. And he opened their eyes. But I'm going to tell you something. Those men, those blind men, they wanted their sight. They wanted to be able to see. They wanted their sight more than anything. They didn't care. Let me tell you something. The night that I got saved, I was in my apartment, and there wasn't a great big crowd of people there, but I can assure you of this, the night that I got saved, I wouldn't have cared if the whole world was watching me pray. I mean, nothing meant anything to me but being saved by the grace of God. That's it. I mean, God had my complete attention, my complete surrender. I wouldn't have cared what anybody said. I was going to seek the Lord until I found. Are you determined tonight in your heart to know the Lord? Are you determined to seek Him until you find Him? That's what it takes. That's what it takes. That's what God's Word says, that you will find Him if you'll seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. If you'll be like those blind men, if you won't let anything get in your way, you won't let anything hinder you from being saved. I want us to have a song. You know, I'm thankful that there are people here through our revival services and have been for a while. I'm thankful there are people here that are willing to make an effort, that are willing to pray. But let me tell you something. You need to be the diligent seeker that the Bible talks about. Now, I'm not telling you to figure out in your mind how to do that. You just go to God. You go to God. You place your trust in Him. He'll give you what you need. The Lord made the promise to the diligent seeker. You seek me with all your heart, all your soul, and you'll find me. You'll find me. That's God's promise to you tonight while we stand and sing.
Number 397. 397.